Beverly coming into the show. This came off the Daily Beast that I read her article, My Fight to Stop My Divorce. Nice to see you, Beverly.
Thank you for having me on, Ron. Nice to see you.
Thanks for stopping in. I know you're a little hesitant about coming in because you find very few people, I guess, that can understand your point of view.
I don't think that's true. I think you just have a wild and wacky show sometimes.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that we were going to have a serious discussion about this.
No, and I'll tell you what. Well, one of the reasons I brought it up is because I saw some of the comments that particularly men leave about your story. Do women see this differently than men, the battle that you've been through to stop your divorce from taking place?
Well, I'm not sure which comments you've looked at, whether you looked at comments that came off the Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast,
because this has actually been taken onto other blogs and it's been put on other websites. And I have a website and I've received personal comments from people through my website and through Facebook. So I think if you just look at the Daily Beast comments alone, I think that doesn't really tell the whole story. And I've received many positive comments from men.
Mm-hmm.
I thought perhaps more of the comments would be from women who could relate, because I'd certainly talked to many women over the years who could relate to my personal issues and what I was going through. But I was very surprised to actually get many favorable emails from men saying, gee, this is something that I went through. I didn't realize other people were going through the same things.
Here's what I loved about your article is because my adult life, no fault, divorce has been around. So I never gave it a second thought. I just thought, boom, two people are together. One decides I don't want to be in this. It could be heartbreaking. But, you know, the people just separate and move on. After reading the article that you wrote, I was thinking to myself, well, what hypocrites we kind of are. We sit down, we go into a church, we make a vow in front of God. We say this is... And in front of our family, in front of, you know, we're saying, no, this is it till death do us part. But we make it very easy to part. We don't, we as a society, I don't think, believe in that vow anymore. And your point was, no, I take this very seriously and I'm willing to do anything to work this out. And for that, it kind of makes you out of step with modern society.
Well, I guess that's the impression. As I said, I think that there have been a lot of comments. It probably maybe is the unpopular view, especially since we've had no-fault divorce in all 49 states since 1985. It started in 1970, and New York is the last one to catch up. So I think people naturally assume that's just the way, and all of a sudden something comes up and someone feels differently, and they say, oh, my gosh, just like you.
Right.
Halt the presses. But you did raise something about marriage in particular, and I did get a comment on my Facebook. It wasn't a very nice comment from a young gentleman who he looked to be in his 20s. And there were some curses that he threw out. But then he said something very interesting and very poignant that I think goes to what you're talking about. He said, that's why my generation, and I think he was in his 30s or 20s or maybe 30. That's why we really don't want to get married. That's why we're not really interested in this marriage thing. And I thought that was very perceptive of him. And I agreed with him. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote the article. And one of the reasons why I pursued this is because I think we do need to have that dialogue in our society about what marriage is.
Right.
He's saying, look at the mess that adults of the last four generations have made with marriage and family. This is not something that the children that have been coming along really want to buy into. And so I think that's worth taking a look at.
Yeah, and there's no reason to buy into it if it really doesn't mean anything. That's the real point. I mean, the whole thing of, oh, no gay marriages because this is a sacred event. No, it's not. It's a no-fault event. It's this short contract that you can get out of, whether it's 10 years into it, 20 years into it, 30 years into it. Let's go into your own personal story. Your background.
Can I just make one comment? Okay, and then I'll... I think that's true, and I think there's some studies that have been done that actually show in a situation in states where you have no-fault divorce that people actually do sort of look over their shoulder. They sort of know that they can sort of hedge their bets.
Right.
Because if it doesn't work out, they have an easy out.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows also that spouses are less likely to invest financially in the marriage. And by that, I mean, let's say, put your spouse through school.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to basically, perhaps maybe financially, it will be to your detriment by spending that money on someone who might turn around and leave you, and you have no option to say no.
Yeah.
So
you were married for how long?
Well, by the time that the divorce was over, it was 26 years.
Okay. So, and when you got married in a church. Is this a religious thing for you, or was it more of... just between, you know, was it more of a moral thing just between the two of you?
I for me personally, I can't separate it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think both things were present there. For me, both a religious situation and also, a moral situation in terms of what my values are. So I think it was both, actually. And we did get married in a church.
And when he said... all right, I'm leaving you. Did this come out of the clear blue? Was this, you just didn't expect it?
Out of the clear, clear blue.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought that, things were going very well in our lives. They were going very well financially, going very well for our children. They were happy and healthy. And that's not to say we didn't have a lot of troubles. And I think my article said mm-hmm. that we had a lot of troubles. And marriages have a lot of troubles. I think if we expect that we're going to be going into any kind of relationship and we're not going to have troubles, we've really got the wrong idea. But I really felt that things were looking up. We're in marital counseling, to resolve some of the things that were going on between us. And the counselor basically said, you need to commit to being here if you're really serious. And we both committed to working on it and being there. And then all of a sudden, I found out he was having an affair.
Right.
And a few weeks later, he was gone.
So he has an affair. You're upset about it. But you didn't think... he would be gone. You would still think, even after he had the affair, let's work on this.
I guess I like to think that I knew him,
mm-hmm.
that I knew the deepest part of him, and that I knew the deepest part of his commitment to our marriage because we had been through many difficulties before,
mm-hmm.
and we had seen them through, and we had come through them. So I like to think that, and also just in terms of the children and just breaking up the family. I mean, he had lost his own parents at a young age, and that was a very difficult thing for him. And so, in my mind, knowing him as I thought I did, I didn't think ultimately that this is something that he would go through.
You just thought he had made a mistake and he would come back and try to...
He said he needed some space.
Right.
He needed some space. He needed some space. He wanted to do this. And, there was nothing that I could do to stop him. Okay, that's what's going to happen.
And when the divorce paper came in, you're shocked, but you said
totally
yourself...
Totally shocked.
No, right away?
I well, you know, it was interesting. I did say no. I did say no. But at the same time, you know, I was served with other divorce papers and financial things that you have to do. And I was working on them. And one night, and I went up to bed and passed my daughter's room. And she said, "What are you doing still up?" And I said, "Honey, I'm filling out, you know, these papers." And she said, "Well, you know," she said, "don't do them." And I said, "Well, I have to do them." Because in my mind, I didn't want the divorce and I thought that we were going to be able to work things out, I thought, perhaps like you did, even though I had the option to fight, oh, these things are just inevitable.
Right.
And she said, "Well, don't do them." And I said, "Well, I cannot do them." And she said, "Well, what happens if you don't?" I said, "Well, I guess we won't get divorced." And she said, "Exactly."
Now, how old was she at the time?
She was 12.
She's 12. She doesn't want her mom and dad to get divorced. She wants everything to go back the way it was.
Or? I don't think. Yeah. I don't think most children want their parents to get divorced.
Mm-hmm. So at that point, you decided, I'm going to fight, not just for myself.
Well, I think at that point, I realized, wow, I really do have the option to say no here. I can, not only do I have the legal right, but I actually have, I can do this. I can say no to this.